Microphone check. Does my mic sound nice? Yes, it does. Welcome to this week's episode of It's About Damn Time. We focus on the real journey to being 1% better every damn day. Welcome to this week's episode of It's About Damn Time. I'm Jared Dam, back in the building once again. And y'all, it is about damn time that we start talking about money trauma. And I know you always bring up these new terms and everything that y'all know y'all swear I make up, but I stumbled upon this term. Money trauma, basically having it's the emotional, I memorized this. It's the emotional, physical, and relationship trauma that you face when dealing with money issues, whether you have money or you don't have money. Most of us, the trauma comes when we don't have money. So, you know, I can't speak for that other side, but I can speak with the not having money. So it was interesting, and I've always wanted to kind of talk about the money aspect and the trauma that goes on with that. It's a little too big for me. It's a little too heavy for me because I just learned the term. So I had to enlist some help. I had to get somebody who's been doing this for a while, who's done all the analysis, who figured everything out. So I got my boy Anthony Weaver from the About That Wallet podcast. My boy in the building, Anthony. Thank you for being on the show. How are you doing this morning?
Man, Jared, thank you so much for bringing me on. And I say this morning, doing pretty good. Like I said, just in the green room, we were talking about how our day was actually going. Just finished doing an interview with somebody who came across seas and just started their business and now doing a really good job with real estate. So, and my day's been doing pretty good right now, and I'm drinking my sour sop. You know, I got to get the health together because, health is wealth.
Yo, I need to get on that sour sop. Like, I really do. I've heard so much great benefits from it and everything, but... All right, when we wrap this up, I'm gonna head to the store. You're doing it right now. Especially health as well. I see what you did there. I got it.
Because it goes along that trauma side of the house that you're talking about, right? If you think about it, they always say, in the black and brown. Well, I can't say brown. I'll say mostly the black and growing up, you always hear like everybody got diabetes. You always got gout or some type of health issue, not really looking at the generational education that's being taught as far as how do we eat our food. Right. And the food is the number one thing when it comes to you trying to get your life together, get your health together and reverse some of those things. Like, does it really run in a family, or is it because we all eat the same thing? So that's one of the things I'd like to discuss a little further if you want to.
No, that's dope. Yeah. And I remember having a conversation with somebody about it a few episodes back about it running the family, a nutritionist. Shout out to Medina's friend of the show. She kind of talked about that running that in the family. Yeah. It's the stuff that we eat and again, it's all a part of the trauma and I don't want to go ahead and start talking about the black community and families, and it's hard because the first thing we talked about is slavery and a lot of that derived from that. Whether you're talking about what we eating and all the pork and all parts of the pig and everything involved and how we prepared it, and whether we talking about this the money in general on because we didn't have it, growing up, there was no money management, there was no hey, this is what you knew. Hey, you saved this much out of your paycheck. Those conversations didn't really exist, at least for me in my household.
Yeah, I would say it's common, but it can't say that it didn't happen. It was more so, like a lot of times I say, and I even talked to my mom about this, was about why, especially when it came to credit cards, I was like, why didn't you add me on as an authorized user when I was growing up and stuff like that? She said that she was afraid that she was going to mess up my credit. Mm-hmm. She knew about it, didn't teach me about it at all. But it wasn't until I asked that direct question. And so it's like your parents know a lot. It depends on what they're comfortable teaching you and telling you about it. And so I just want to break down the terms a little bit when it comes to trauma. We always hear about trauma in general, but we can talk about it just by definition. It's just saying it's a psychological and emotional response to deeply distressing or disturbing event that overwhelms an individual's ability to cope. So if we can take that definition and start adding in the financial side of the house, then you can say it's a financial, psychological, and emotional response to a deeply distressing or disturbing event that overwhelms you, you know, with the ability to cope with your finances. So if you think about it, a lot of times when we're growing up at the age of 8, usually is where we start to kind of understand our financial habits, our financial understanding, because usually that's when we get in our, like, our first allowance. Some people get the allowance when they're like 5 or 6, but 8 is around that sweet spot where a lot of the kids get their allowance and we're trying to figure out, like, hey, now I got some money. I'm going to go to the store and I'm going to get me some candy. And then when candy will get. Right. Because, you know, growing up, I'm not sure how old you are, but for me growing up, it was like, hey, I got 5 cents. I can get 5 pieces of candy.
Right. Get the candies.
You know what I'm saying? So fun. Maybe get a bag of chips with 25 cents.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So it's one of those things is like, yes, we were taught, we all know how to make money. The question is, what is our mindset about saving money, investing money, and having that long-term delayed gratification? And that's one of the things that is very important that I'm noticing more and more out of the 130 people I've interviewed, that the process of saving money has always been one of the major issues throughout that process.
We can definitely start there. I think for me, my mom, and it's not an attack on my mom at all, you know, because of looking at the generation or two beforehand, like my grandmother and you know, I'm from the South, I'm from Louisiana, so big mama, big daddy, you know, the great grandparents, they didn't have any money, so there was no financial training whatsoever. So my mom didn't have it for me. So my mom was not a good saver of money. She'll tell you right now, she's still not a good saver of money. She's 70, but you know, so she was one of those people that like you said, right around 8, you might get like a little bit of allowance, going right to get some candy or whatever, and then by the end of the day, by the end of the week, begging for money from other people again because she spent it all. And I think when you are in that position, when you have a parent that's spending money that way, you're going to do two things. You're going to, one, do exactly what they're doing and spend money the same way, or you're going to become that responsible person for that balance in the household, and you're going to save everything. I was the savior for when it came to the money. So for me, even something as small as lunch money, you know, I'm 45, so lunch money back then was like 75 cents, 50 cents, 75 cents, you know what I mean, for lunch money. Excuse me. So what she would do is get the change that she had and put in like this tin can, and you know, so I could just pick it out for lunch money. But I already knew the struggles that we had because, you know, whether it was fair or not, my mom leaned on me a lot. I was a little nosy, so I knew our financial struggles and everything. Right, so right. I didn't want to rock the boat by asking any questions, but whatever was in that was there. And when it started running low, I didn't tell her that it was running low. I was just like, okay, well, we're going to figure out what I'm going to do for lunch today, because or I'm not going to eat, or I'm going to wait till I get home and eat a whole can of biscuits or something like that. and a lot of times she probably would have had more change. She just didn't know that it wasn't available, but I just felt like I had to create that balance. And so when you look at it, when it comes to saving, like even now, because I was doing all that saving back then, I'm very like standoffish when it comes to money and spending money and things that you need. And I'm one of the people that will get paid from a job. And even though I know my bills are due right now, I will still let it sit there for a while just so I can go back and look at the checking account to make sure to see that I have money in there before. And I know that's a trauma response. You know what I mean? I know that's a trauma response. And is that something that you come across?
Oh yeah, all the time. So one of the things, I'm gonna just keep this in mind for the audience as well, just to protect both of us, is that, you know, this is just a conversation between two colleagues. This is not financial advice at all. Absolutely. We're just sharing our stories at this point. But when it comes to financial traumas, just going back to that just a little bit, you start having some of those long lasting effects from those childhood memories. And one of those long lasting effects is like emotional distress, where you have like anxiety, you got some fear, some guilt, some shame, or even depression. Now, I can tell you this. It's from my childhood, that growing up now, my fear of finances is to have those wish sandwiches again. Mm-hmm. I do not want to have where I wished I had some type of meat in between the bread. Right. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, okay, I got butter, I got some old bread, and I might got some syrup because it's the only thing that's left.
Yeah.
And then that's what we used to make sandwiches. Like, that used to be the dinner. For breakfast, if we were lucky, we might have one egg and got split it amongst five people. You learn how to stretch some eggs, throw some water up in that bad boy, because, you know, milk was expensive. So it was either water, and then you find some other creative ways. Like, hey, you might not get eggs on your plate this time. You might just get the bacon side this time. Everybody didn't eat the same amount because it was a lot of kids. It's a lot of adults in a household growing up. So that's my fear of going back to something like that. You have something called like cognitive impairments. You got the difficulty of concentrating or even making financial decisions and even managing money. I'm going to just continue on the list so you guys can have it. We can just dive throughout it. But we got the behavioral changes, which is avoidance of financial tasks. Because, you know, some people are even afraid to even pay their bills. You have compulsive spending, like people who just love to spend. And then you got extreme frugality, which you talk about those savers. I have one of my clients, she is a saver to the point where she's like, if she has $100 on her credit card, she is freaking out. She's like, I got to pay this. I need to figure out a way to pay this bill. Like immediately. I was like, it's going to be okay. You're getting your paycheck next week. You can pay it off. And it's just like, I'm just the emotional safe space for that person. So they can be like, okay, we can breathe now, to kind of show them the bigger picture. And then you have the physical health problems, which is stress-related conditions such as headaches, insomnia, or even, just digestive issues. You ever see somebody just like so freaking out, like they just can't even use the bathroom? Like, man, when was the last time you used the bathroom? It was like, oh, about 4 days. That's not healthy. Like, you kind of backed up. And then you can literally say they full of S, right?
Dude. Okay. That last one hurt because I'm currently going through that same process right now.
Really?
Yeah. So no, all of them are hitting me. All of them are hitting me right now. And like as you say, I'm like, man, I just got that out. I was like a miracle. Like I felt like, but that is so true. And when I saw the definition and saw that it's a physical. It also affects your physical. I didn't really think about it, but yeah. And you know, add to the fact that, you know, I've been out of work for like the last 8 months, almost 9 months, probably when this comes out. Hopefully not 9 months when this comes out. but I've been out of work, and so that's the stress and the insomnia. I didn't sleep last night. I'm gonna be honest with you. It's on the real. I think I took like an hour nap before we started recording. That's all I had. So it's not sleeping. It's the physical stuff. It's the, like, you know, okay, all right, I'm about to make this work. So I got these packs of ramen here, or even if you know you got a little money to tide you over for a little while, I'm still like, I don't even want to look at my account, you know, to see what money that I have, because ignorance is bliss. And in my mind, it's like, okay, if I don't know, then I'm not going to stress about it. But the moment I click on that Chase app and I look, I'm like, all right, now this one.
So, do I even eat some eggs today? I mean, do I need to get some substitute eggs this week?
Right. So, and you see the price of eggs, like, how it's been this year. So now, a note to the eggs. So
it's you use some chia seed eggs.
Look. Right. Man. And even when you said the syrup sandwich thing, like, you know, there'd be the times when I'm like, okay, well, man, I don't even have the syrup, but I had cinnamon and I got sugar. I'm going to put the cinnamon sugar on there. It's going to be my little dessert, the cinnamon toast. Boy, like, it's amazing the stuff. And when I was in the 80s when I was younger and it was happening,
right,
didn't think nothing of it because that's just it was. But it's amazing how, like, when you get one setback or a couple of setbacks that go back to back financially, you revert back to them. But I guess that's trauma in general, but the financial piece is amazing because we never really think about it and we never really talk about it. But I have definitely been reliving. In here, it's like it's 88 all over again.
Yeah. Because if you think about it, the things that you've been through, because you don't want your children to go through that, right, you try to tell them all of your fears. You embed them all of your fears. And I was thinking about that yesterday, was about as far as just like having, like, I guess you could say, like, your lunches that you make or whatever. So, like, you got the ham and cheese and you roll it up into a ball, whatever. Not into a ball, but, you know, you roll it up.
The little roll, yeah.
The little rolls with the cheese and the meat. And I was like, why is this a thing? When you got bread available, or you can get a tortilla shell or something like that, not realizing, like, hey, this is actually just a easier way just to make things without, quote unquote, they say, oh, you're going to have the carbs or whatever. No, just say that you ain't had no bread.
Right.
Like, just be real with yourself. Like, right. Look, I couldn't afford the bread. I couldn't afford the tortillas this time. Cool. We're just going to have, like, the raw sandwich without the sandwich piece.
Yeah.
It's crazy on how far we're going to take this, because our finances is just one aspect of the ratio when it comes to your total financial outlook. It's the health about it, and then also the education. And it all has to start from a question of why is it the way things are right now? What was going on at the time? And you can look at your finances and say, like, man, I've been spending all this money. I've been spending all this time working. What do I have to show for it? Yeah. Now, you got to figure out what is it that you like in life. For me, I like experiences. That's why I read a lot of books, because most of the time I ain't going nowhere. So, but the books take me outside of my realm and cause me to slow down on my spending, cause me to look at life a little differently. And I could tell you the thing that really kicked me off into learning all of this was because I have a mentor in college. And yes, sadly, it took me to college to really learn all of this. But during my undergrad and as an elementary educator, my mentor, he was one of my teachers, but then he wasn't my teacher. Then we just kind of still talk on the side. And he was saying, it's like a lot of the people actually start off with seed money. And I was like, what the heck is seed money? And he was like, this is the money that you use to start investing. And so he put out a little chart. He used Excel. At the time, we just had like grid line paper and he just drew it directly on there. He was like, take 1 week, going across the top, all of your columns will be the weeks, right? So you do the first week, second week, third week, fourth week. That'll be a month. Then you can take that to 3 months, 4 months out. Just do it that way. Then if you want to, you can skip a couple lines and just start putting the years. And so how many years you're going to have this money? Now, on the left-hand side, you're talking about how much are you down the road for the for the rolls. Your rolls are going to lay out how much you're going to save per day. So if you do, I'm sorry, scratch all that. take this back. Because this is like now that I remember all of it.
Right, right, right.
The first, the top rolls, the rolls will be the days on how many times you're going to save this amount of money. Mm-hmm. Your rolls are going to be the dollar amount. So if you say like, hey, I'm going to have a dollar a day for 7 days, you can see how much that's going to be. Okay, that's like $7. We're just going to do seven because it's easier. That's how many days in a week.
Right.
Then we're going to go down to two. So then you got two times seven, you got $14, right? Sounds great. Okay. Now we start looking at $10 a day. $10 a day, you're looking at $70 a paycheck. You just put that off to the side. Cool. You can celebrate yourself. The cool thing about this process, as you go down the line to the dollar amounts, you can actually start seeing, okay, where you at in that progress of where you want to be. And at the end of each month, you can either do one or two things. You can do something called dollar cost averaging. It's where you're taking that end of the month money and dumping it into your investment account. Mm-hmm. Now, I know this isn't talking about investing, but one of the things that I do want to share is that there's things called ETF, which is exchange traded funds, which trades once a day. And you can actually get in. And if you want to think about it, you call about ETFs. If you go inside a grocery store, that particular aisle, so they got different versions of ETFs. You can say like, hey, I'm going in the international aisle. They got a little international products, right? That's your index fund. You're getting all of those. The exchange traded fund, it's like you buying that grocery store. You're getting everybody. I don't care what's going on. Say like, hey, the price of watermelons had went down by 10 cents. But the price of sweet potatoes had went up 20 cents or whatever. So it kind of evens themselves out. But also the supermarket's job is the things that are not selling to get them out of that portfolio, to get them out of the market. So that's kind of how to bring that in. I know I went off on a tangent, but
it's good stuff. It's good stuff because it transitions to kind of what, you know, the next part of it. We've identified that, you know, the trauma is there and how it affects you, you know, mind, body, soul. But it's also like, okay, once we identified what's next, how do we move through it? Like because you on your podcast, you talk a lot about us being the sandwich generation and everything. And you know, that's the people who you were speaking to. And I feel like with that sandwich generation, there's a lot of pressure on us to like break the generational curses that's been going on, you know, like the last two or three generations and set, you know, generation, you know, a path of generational wealth for the family and going forward. So we play this pivotal role and it's a lot of pressure because you're like, we didn't really have the training. We're trying to learn now. We got resources such as yourself and trying to figure out how to sit there and make this work. And also deliver it to the next generation, but I don't know how to turn the corner. So is it just as simple as just, you know, taking a couple dollars from your paycheck and saving, or does the whole mentality need to change first?
It would start with the mindset. Okay. So you got to start there first, because if you're not willing to put in that discipline or those sacrifices, it's never going to work. Same thing like going on a diet. Yeah, I want to eat healthy. But I like Chick-fil-A on the way home. It's easier. Or instead of me going to Jamba Juice, I don't feel like drinking. I want to chew something. I want to go to, I don't know, Burger King to get something. Now, if y'all not, Burger King is y'all listening, please sponsor the show so you get some coins. They will probably talk about y'all salads. But in the meantime, if you want to go to Burger King, you're more likely not going to go get a salad. It's a lifestyle change. You have to kind of put the blinders on to the things that are getting you to where you are today because you're comfortable. When you're comfortable, you fail. You need to be constantly uncomfortable. I call it uncomfortably happy. That's what I usually call it. Because you're moving into a state where you need to grow. And in order for you to do that, you need to change the mindset. So yes, you can start saving. Saving is one thing, one aspect about it. But then you got to think about it. Well, I'm just throwing money over here. I don't know what I'm going to do with it yet, but eventually I'm going to do something. That is doable, especially inside your mindset as you're going through this change and this change of lifestyle. you got to think about it. Okay. I always hear this a lot, which I think is stupid, which is, you know, hey, if you use a coupon, go down and save that amount of money that you would have spent using a coupon into your savings account. I'm like, as an extreme couponer at the time, I'm saving over $100-some per time, every time I go. It's like, I don't even have $100-some anyway. That's the reason why I'm couponing in the first place. Like, what do you expect me to do? It's like, it doesn't make sense. Make it make sense. But going through that process, it's like we all have to do it, but we don't understand the sacrifices that goes into everybody's lives. When I was extreme couponing, I'm spending at least 8 to 10 hours researching, cutting coupons, looking at what source I need to go to, making sure I have the right amount of coupons, reaching out to other couponers to make sure that they have that. It's almost like playing Go Fish. Like, yeah, you have to make sure you have all the stuff before you even go inside the store. Then when you go inside the store, you got to make sure that they got the product at the time when you got it. If not, then I use a, what you call it, a rain check. Then I make sure the rain checks match up. Like, it's a lot of work, but it will work if you're willing to make those sacrifices. And the sacrifices for me was like, I'm spending more time outside the house at the time with my ex, like with her daughter and stuff like that. Like, I was taking away time from them, focusing on making sure I was getting food for the household and everything like that. This was before work, after work, the weekends. Like, I'm going to all these different stores, making all these different connections so that we can have the food and stuff like that to happen in the household. So it's not just that you're changing one action. You got to change your full habit. Charles Duhigg, I know you said have everything ready for you, but I did not, because I put a whole list of books together because I was really great. I was ready for you.
You okay?
Right. But Charles Duhigg, he talks about the habit loop, which is you got your triggers, you have your routine, and then you have your reward. That is the full loop. The reason being is that you need to know what your triggers when you start saving money. Yes, you're saving money. Okay. You made the money, which is your trigger. You put the money into the account, which is the routine. Now your reward is like, hey, now I got $5 in the bank. Yay. Yeah. Okay. That's your happiness, right? So you continue to do that. After a while, it does kind of get kind of boring, get monotonous. How do you find that those endorphins again to make that reward rewardable?
Yeah.
Okay. Some people like to see that money grow. Okay. Some people like to see that money grow faster. So they'll use a high yield savings account, which is great. Instead of just putting their money away. Then it was like, man, what's another challenge? What is the next thing? Okay, the next thing is now investing. What do you invest in? Do you invest in yourself or do you invest in the stock market? Where do you go? Where do you start? Like, these are great questions. However, you need to realize what are the sacrifices that you're doing. You don't want to become a day trader because then you constantly watching the market. You get emotional about it. You're like, absolutely, oh man, I ain't got no money, dude. You know, took it all the stuff. Like, it's fine. It's going on sale. And you only realize the gain or the loss when you go to sell the product. So, like, this is more than just you put the money away. It's now a lifestyle. Okay, you need to learn to live off less if you want to start savings. If you want to start eating healthy, we talked about this, which is now you got to put the blinders on for all the snack stuff. All the healthy stuff is in the perimeter of the grocery store. These grocery stores are great. They know that. So if you ever notice, they talk put chips along those aisles, like just hugging around.
So now that we know that's what it is, the perimeter, like, all right, we got you. We'll just do this hot little spot right here on this corner. You'd be like, oh, right. The most unhealthiest thing on the planet. Yeah.
Right. Because Safeway, I would say Safeway because it's local in Maryland. Safeway is famous for this. So, you know, the healthy stuff, like they have the bread in the bakery. It's always at the back end of the store, on the grocery store, like that last perimeter. But then right next to it, they got all the pastries sitting at that last aisle.
Right.
I'm like, come on. You know, I love my pastries. So I got to get the Edmonds. I mean, not that immense. The Hostess, they got the mini bun cakes. Oh, man, they're so good, dude. And then you get some Haagen-Dazs ice cream and put on top of them drinks.
See, why are you doing this to me, man? Like, I'm trying. trying to be better. Now you already got me to this, going to the store and get some salad stop. But now I'm about to stop there. Like, well, you know, let me get like a, let me get the cakes, man.
Let me get the cakes. Let me get
the cakes. But no, you're making good points because I think what it went into my question because I'm like, all right, what's the end result? Because when you, you know, when you're saving, it's like, you're right. It's the initial high of like, mm-hmm. okay, well, I saved some money. But after that, it's like, you don't have a plan on what you're doing with the money, or you don't know what the next steps are. You're just like, oh, okay, well, I'm saving money for a rainy day. And I remember having, I don't know if you met Lee, in Afro's and Audio. Shout out to Lee. She had made this whole statement about, you know, like, saving for a rainy day is you know, is still like this trauma response in general, because you don't know what you're doing exactly with the money. But
you say we don't have a dollar amount for what that rainy day looks like.
Right. So you're just like, you're still just like, okay, I got money in here. So, cause I'm supposed to do it in air quotes. So the next steps with the, you know, high yielding and even in investing, which, that's a whole other can of worms, and I probably have to get you back on the show to sit there and talk about that. It's really amazing to sit there and kind of think about it. It's overwhelming, especially when you mentioned the day trading thing, and I don't even know how you was doing the extreme couponer, because my co-parent was also a extreme couponer, she had this what the kids called the binder. Yep. And no one was allowed to touch the binder. Otherwise, it was gonna be problematic.
And yeah, I still got my binder somewhere. It's the D-ring binder.
Yeah. Looking at that binder stressed me out. So like I can't imagine sitting there doing it like all the time. Yeah. Like, yeah, my ultimate respect. That's a lot. Yeah.
Because on top of that, it's organizing too. Because I organized my coupon book by the aisles of that particular store that I went to. So it was easier. So like, I know when they first come in, hey, I got the deodorant, the toothbrushes, the toothpaste, and everything like that. Right in front, knock those out. I run all the way down to the paper goods because those always sell out quickly. Usually they bulk items. So I get like the paper towels, the Swiffer sweeper stuff and everything like that.
Right.
Get those knocked out because those will go quickly. Everything else is small items. I can walk around and take my sweet time to get the rest of stuff. And it's always fun to clean a shelf. You know, I was like, hey, sorry, y'all should have got here around 6 o'clock when the store opened. And then the grocery stores got to the point where it was like, you cannot clean the shelves anymore. I was like, really? Like, you just go in there and just take all of this.
Yeah. Because I do remember the you know, the victor goes to spoils, and she, you know, I go to her house and look at the garage and see all the stuff that she had, and it was stuff that she had to worry about at all. So I mean, I could see that, but ooh man, I can't wrap my mind around that. Yeah. So, all right, when we talk about this, we're definitely trying to break generational curses here.
Yes,
with that, and I think part of the inspiration for this, and I didn't necessarily tell you the story, but part of the inspiration for reaching out to you to do this episode is that a couple of days ago, my daughter, she's 17, she called me and she was like, okay, I got money that I'm trying to put in my bank account. Mm-hmm. I was like, how do I deposit money? And I was like, what? You know, like
cash dollars?
Yeah, like she had like extra cash. And I'm like, how do I deposit in my bank account? And I'm just like, and I guess because I'm old now, so I'm like, what do you mean you don't know that? But I've been doing it for so long, so it makes sense. And so I'm like, well, are you going to a person, or are you doing it? Doing the ATM. So I'm like talking to her and walking her through this,
right?
And it got me to thinking, like, I don't, you know, she's so responsible. She's entrepreneur, you know, she bakes and stuff, and she, you know, has the money together, and she's putting money into the bank. She's like, okay, how much in this can I move into savings versus checking? She ain't learned that from us. She might learn it from her mama, and maybe my ex, my ex-wife, she might have learned it from them. We had the conversations about it. So I'm just like, I'm amazed about it, but I'm also like, I need to be able to put her, be in a position to try to help and talk to her about it, because she getting ready to graduate high school. She better go off to college or, you know, the armed forces. And then, you know, she's going to have money. She'll have to sit there and figure out what to do and how to deal with it. I'm like, you got me?
Like I said, I got books for days. So I'm bringing up this book because it's exactly like your situation, but not so much like your situation. It's just that this guy, J.L. Collins, let me give you the backstory of this book. The reason why he wrote it was that he was a huge investor, loved talking about investing. His family, pretty much his daughter, got tired of listening to him. So she tuned him out the whole time. So it's not like you didn't have somebody who knew about money inside the household.
Right.
She was just like, I don't want to listen to you. It's all you talk about. You don't talk about anything else. So they'll tune you out. And you know, as guys, we like to talk about stuff we like to geek out about. Like, right. We were just geeking out about podcasts before we started. Like, you know, nobody wants to hear that. So he wrote this book for his daughter because when she's ready, she can listen to it. Now, this book is called The Simple Path to Wealth. I highly recommend it for any parent, especially in the sandwich generation, especially for you that with your situation with your daughter at 17. Granted, reading is not the best. It doesn't have pictures, but it has a few pictures in here. It's like a couple graphs or whatever. But the most thing about it is that it guides you through how to invest in the stock market, looking at the big picture so you can set it and forget it style. So it makes it light, nice and easy. It talks about how to get your high yield savings account set up, how to get your Vanguard account set up, and you can set it up and forget it. And so that by the time when you're ready to retire, you can do that without having so much stress now, so you can have a good time later on. Highly recommend this book to you and for your daughter. Like, y'all both get it. Like, I don't have any stake in it, but I highly recommend it.
Thank you for that. And I think that's where I was going with it. Cause I think I was thinking about the same thing. Like, I can start telling her about money and everything, and, you know, the lessons that I've learned about it and everything, but, you know, yeah, she's a teenager. Of course, right. you listen to what you want to listen to. Like, half the time, I'm amazed at some of the stuff that she tells me that I have said. I'm like, wait, you were listening the entire thing? She's like, well, I heard a part of it. I took a little piece of it and applied it to my life. I'm just like, oh, well.
You sound a little valuable right there.
For the part that she's not getting, you know, maybe looking at the book, you know, it's basically something that breaks it down. And that's essentially what you want. Like, it's like you said, it starts with that mindset first. So if I get with her and talk with her early on about because you know what I learned about a high yielding savings account?
How you learned about it?
2 years ago.
So, oh, wow. You know what I mean? Okay.
Like, so, yeah. So, you know, so, like, I, you know, besides from being at a job where it, you know, 401k and all this other stuff that, you know, doing as far as the investments, I didn't know anything outside of that or anything in that nature. And so I want to talk to her about that early. So whether she gets a job or whether she go out and try to be an entrepreneur or both, that she has that cushion where she's like, okay, so if she decides to have kids and her grandkids, it won't be syrup sandwiches or cinnamon toast or anything else that we've struggled with, and it'll be foreign for her. So
I would say that one of the things is easiest, you know, from an educator perspective, is to find something that the kids are excited about and then lean in on that particular item. Because, like, you and I, we were just talking about finances for podcasting.
Right.
Again, I found something that you're already interested in because you're doing it.
Right.
I was like, hey, now you can make some money from it. And you were like, cool, how could I do that? Like,
yeah,
these are ways that we can look into things just in a different lens now and make it make sense. Versus, like, how you say your daughter's looking into going to business. Cool. How about y'all come out to FinCon and learn about business and getting into the business industry, what people are doing out there? there's so many other conferences. It's going back to, do you invest in yourself or do you invest in the stock market? So to me, I always say investing in yourself first is the most important thing. Right. You could put a couple dollars off to the side. Like I say, build your seed money. If you don't know where to put it at, throw it inside a high yield savings account for now until you figure it out. You can do ETFs. Again, another one just to kind of throw it out there. You can just do the whole total market index. I think it's VTIX, which is Vanguard Total Market Index.
That's what I was doing, the Vanguard stuff. Yeah.
So if you just want to set it, forget it, get the whole thing until you figure out if you want to do individual stuff, you can. But the main thing is that you constantly keep learning about yourself. And like you said, for your daughter, is to really think about, what does she want out of life? Does she want to enjoy life now? Making sure that she get all her debts taken care of. If she decide to go inside to buy real estate for herself, what does the attrition rate looks like when she start looking into getting into the stock market? What is the expense ratio? Well, the expense ratio when you're looking at ETFs is the amount that they charging you for how much money that they have in holding. So You want to make sure your expense ratio is under 0.0%. Like the 0.01 or 0.05 or something like that. Vanguard is perfect for that because they have a lot of low to no fee index funds. Same thing with Fidelity. Fidelity got several zero funds where they don't even charge you anything just for investing. They just happy you're investing. So yeah, you can do that as a parent too. You can set them up and then as an account. And then when they turn, I think 18, she can go on and you take your name off of it. They'll take control over it. That's it.
Wow. That's a lot of good information that you provided there. Cause I didn't think about any of that
stuff. I mean, this is why we're here.
You see my mind blown.
Yeah.
Especially the FinCon thing. Cause that it's like you said, I heard you earlier when you said investing in yourself, and I'm sitting there like, yeah, I'm gonna buy some more podcast equipment. You know, that's ultimately where my mind went. But like me and her having that experience where we're taking a trip somewhere and she's learning about her because, you know, she's a baker, so she's learning about her business and how she can set that up and the money, and she would love that. And then it would get her hype to be in the room with people who are making money, and then she gonna come home and just, that makes a lot of sense. And that's just investing that time into yourself and your family and creating that generational wealth.
I got another book.
Most
of the people, because I'm speaking at FinCon this year, this is going to be my second year speaking there. So this time I'm actually doing the first timers orientation this time around. And it's sort of in September. If anybody listening and you want to go on and join, I think if you use Wallet 50, you get $50 off your ticket.
Okay.
I mean, if you're listening. But this book right here, I got this from a Finn Connor. He actually, this was his very first book, and I got a signed copy from him. But he's actually helping people with financial literacy for college students. So if your daughter's going to college,
right,
this is the book for her. I already told him all my edits and everything like that, some different updates that he was missing out on, especially if we need to talk about the military side of the house. Mm-hmm. But everything else in here was amazing. Great way to get you started for that process. So it's another Finn Connor that's there. I'm good. One more book.
Okay.
Yeah. Tiffany Alice.
Resources, man. Yeah, I love this.
So Tiffany Alice also spoke at FinCon years ago. But she also has a movie or a TV show on Netflix called Get Good With Money. So if you're on Netflix, go down and check her out. She has a full program on it. Think about it. She was an educator up in Jersey, created a law that requires, I believe, middle schoolers to actually have financial literacy part of their program going out of school for Jersey. Now, there are other financial people that are in the community, that are part of the FinCon community, they're also doing the same exact thing for their respective states. So who knows, it might become for the state near you. So just keep an eye out. But those two people, I've met them in person, talked to them one-on-one, especially when it comes to dealing with your finances for your kids.
Right. And
I got one more for therapy, because you'll talk about therapy.
Oh, yeah, let's tie that back into therapy for sure.
Right. So this guy, I met him in person. This was actually at my very first FinCon. He gave me this book. I didn't know who he was. He was like, hey, you know, nice to meet you. Welcome to the, you know, FinCon or whatever. Can I give you my book as my business card? Because I don't have business cards. That's why I use my book. His name is Ed Coombs. And it's C-O-A-M-B-S. And this book is called The Healthy Love and Money Way. Talking about how the four attachment styles impact your financial well-being. So this book, I mean, it's almost like a tearjerker in the beginning, because it's like, he talks about losing his best buddy in the fire department. And the thing about it, his buddy was the one who introduced him to his wife, and to have him pass away, I believe, either in a fire incident. And far as him coming out of that to like really have an impact to his life and also his wife, life, in the way how he's moving in money and moving in this space of, you know, making sure that everybody has a psychological safe space to express themselves. This guy, he's really put in some work, from a psychological standpoint. I'm sorry, because he's bringing up, you can't bring me up so many different things. and then this guy, he just got his, not too long ago, but he called himself for financial therapy. Mm-hmm. And his name is Rakim Sabri. I have the only light-skinned copy of his book. It's called The Financially Irresponsible. Highly recommend it. And he's doing amazing things. So look him up. I had them both on my show. I said I have everybody on my show except for Tiffany. But I did meet Tiffany in person. She's doing amazing things as well. But I just want to give you those resources.
You'll have her on. You'll have her on soon. You know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're gonna manifest that. You'll have her on soon.
I still got some more books to go for you whenever you get there.
No, man. This has actually been really great, and I'll make sure to have all those books in the show notes so people can find, click on there and look into that. You know that you've really opened my mind to this stuff, and I know it's going to influence and push further conversations. So, which means I just gotta have you back. So then we can talk some more.
Do you got a financial question? Like, well, I will say this. Because of the sandwich generation, I'll at least give some people some stats right quick. Remember, the sandwich generation is about people who are taking care of their kids, usually 18 and younger, sometimes even taking care of their adult kids. Right. And they also caretakers for their parents that are about 65 years or older. Now, to kind of put something in perspective, when it comes to Black Americans, they make up 21% of the sandwich generation. You got whites at 24% and Hispanics at 31%. So you'd be like, well, why are Blacks so low percentage in the sandwich generation? That's the only thing I was thinking about. Like, why does that matter? But come to find out is that, you know, the life expectancy for Black Americans is really around age 65. If you look at a lot of the crime that's going on, we really don't make it that old. When you think about it, either you got, the mortality rates are high for the population. You got systemic health reasons. And then you got cultural and financial support patterns. Because it's like most time when you turn 18, hey, you're out the house.
Yeah.
You're not in the house long enough to kind of really find yourself at grade school. And now it's just kind of like, okay, well, you got to go figure it out. You know? And then most of the time when most time when somebody's educated, they move away from the house and they move a couple of states away from the house.
Right.
And then it's like when the parents get older, what are you going to do? Are you going to go back down there to support them? Or are you going to move them up to where you at? Like
that's a real decision going on right now. So
life is life. Him. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what did you decide on anything yet?
No. I mean, my mom is definitely entrenched in Shreveport, Louisiana. Shout out to Shreveport. She's definitely entrenched there. She ain't going nowhere. My stepdad, he ain't going nowhere. Like he damn near the mayor of Shreveport. So he, they ain't going nowhere. Right. But at the same time, it's like, you know, trying to take more and more trips to go out there. Like, I'm gonna have to go out next weekend because I'm like, my mom was like, I ain't seen you in a while. I need to put my eyes on you. Like, well, so, you know, it's trying to figure that part out. That's that life expectancy thing. Like, I 65.
Well, I mean, like, it goes back to what we're eating, right?
Yeah.
And some people are afraid to go to try something different. People are afraid to go to a healthier route because it doesn't have meat.
Yeah. Like,
it took me, for my mom, because I noticed she was gaining a lot of weight. One of the things that I did was, because I watched Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead, as everybody did back then. And I went to her house, and I was like, all this sugar is all over the place. Trash it. I trashed everything. I was like, Ma, we going shopping. I only had about maybe $300 in the bank account at the time. I was like, okay, I'm getting my mom healthy. So I bought everything that she wanted healthy, told her how to use a Lysa blender to use like beets and make juices and stuff like that, make smoothies, replace all the things. Going back to that habit loop, what do you feel successful at the end? What is that reward?
Yeah.
It's trying to find the fruits and vegetables that would actually get her to feel healthy. And so I did that. I think I spent like $250 at the time just to kind of replenish everything that I threw away and with healthier options. And I think she was able to drop about 30 pounds within like 2 weeks.
That's a
so
in 2 weeks?
Yeah. Like she dropped. I was like, are you okay? She was like, yeah, I'm having a great time. Like, because she has so much energy.
Yeah.
She's just been doing it. I was like, oh, well, I guess this worked out. So she was in it. Now, I'm sorry, not 2 weeks. I'm sorry, I'm exaggerating. It's probably at least within a month. It was
that's still really 30 pounds. Still, that's still really good. Yeah. Like,
because she used to be like,
yeah,
you know, talking about those what's the name? Those cabbage diets, and I'm like, cabbage stink, right?
Yeah.
Sounds depressing.
Look, my mama is literally addicted to sugar. Like we have a conversation when we sit there and talk about you know, Cokes that she drink, and she'll drink about 4 or 5 Cokes a day, and then she's like, well, you know, at night I switch to, you know, the Sprite because, you know, because like that's a healthier version. The doctor said, Mama, the doctor's just trying to get you to sit there and drink something other than Cokes. But look, the negotiations that I've had with her is the switch from the carbonation to at least juice, which is still with sugar. And if I find something like the Honest brand that has like low sugar, absolutely not. She's like she's at a point now, Anthony, that she is adding. She'll have a bowl of cereal, Frosted Flakes. And she'll add sugar to Frosted Flakes. Mama, what is happening? What is going on?
They need to be like a food trauma instead of a financial trauma.
I should have a whole trauma series and then that should be next. I'm like, Mama, what is happening? This is crazy. And I know if I was doing it like in like 91, you would have killed me. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. It's what I'm gonna have to deal with next week. That's
one of the things
I'm
that I'll say, because when it comes to sugary drinks, because my aunt, she told me a long time ago, she was like, yeah, I just don't drink caramel color. And I was like, why? She was like, well, it causes all this extra stuff. And so since I was younger, I would say at least I had to be about 13, maybe 13 to 15. And she mentioned it, and I was like, huh. So I stopped drinking. I don't drink it as often, but I just pretty much stopped drinking anything with caramel color in it. And I was like, oh, it's a lot of stuff with caramel color in it when it comes to like those carbonated drinks.
Yeah.
And because she was a biologist, and I was like, well, I trust her. So, but, you know, I was like, yeah. But now I'm a straight water person most of the time. And then, like I said, I got my sour sop for the first time, actually.
But you see what I'm saying with the caramel thing? Like, okay, yeah. So I don't know. I never really looked up the science with that. I don't know if that's actually a thing, but you know, your aunt being a biologist, my mama has a degree in zoology. You know what I'm saying? So she's not, you know what I'm saying? But she's like, yeah, I was just drinking Sprite at night, mama. Really?
Yeah, get up on her. Oh. Yeah, just try to tell her some other stuff. Oh, if she likes soda, then try to try out kombucha. She might try like kombucha.
Ooh.
Try the kombucha. I would say get different flavors so she can at least try them out because it's still got that fizziness to it.
Yeah, she needs the fizzy, but I gotta break her from the sweet. Like if I can get her down on sugar for a little while, she'd be fine, and the kombucha would really help her. But you know, that's a battle for next week. But
yeah, and I'm not a health person, but
yeah. I don't want to hold you up too long. I have utterly enjoyed this conversation that we've had.
That has been great.
But before we go, I got this last segment. It's about damn time where I ask the guest, what's about damn time for you to start doing? So, Anthony, what is it about damn time for people to start doing to unlearn habits that has caused them to have money trauma?
The very first thing I would say is to understand your triggers. And what I mean by that is you need to do a self-evaluation of what causes you to spend. Is it because your friends say, hey, let's go out to eat? Is it because somebody invited you to a party? Or because you feel as though somebody deserves something? And it's about time to actually sit down with yourself and really get to know yourself and know your triggers. That will be my number one thing as a takeaway. Like I said, I got plenty of books here, and they all will talk about a pivotal point and moment in time that changed their whole trajectory and the way how they look at life and their outlook in life. And it's usually based on the trigger. What caused them to do that and how to stop it? That would actually change your whole life in general. Like for me, the main thing that really kicked off was buying my cell phone outright. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I didn't even know that was a possible thing because everybody I was around did the percentage, like just got on to pay a little portion of it per bill. Once I was able to pay off my phone directly, I was like, oh, they're prepaid. I ain't got to pay all these extra fees or these extra things. If you actually look at the itemization of your bill, you're paying a lot more. I only paid $300 a whole year for my cell phone service, and it's through prepaid. Phone still works.
Right.
You make my phone calls. And the majority of the time, everybody's in the house anyway. You're on Wi-Fi. What do you need all those minutes for? I mean, I get unlimited minutes, but I mean, as far as like data.
Yeah.
What you need? Yeah.
Huh.
But yeah, it's about time to really evaluate like your life, your situation. Take time out, learn your finances, get to know yourself, look at your spending for the past, you know, month or even 2 months. Like just look at your credit card statements. Look at what you're really spending. Do you really remember all those sandwiches that you just got from Chick-fil-A? And it's Chick-fil-A, if y'all listening, go on Spice to the Show.
Go ahead and sponsor the show, because I didn't live in Chick-fil-A. So yeah, go ahead and sponsor the show. Shout out to Chick-fil-A because they just hired my daughter for a job. So yeah, shout out to Chick-fil-A all the way around.
And they paid for college too.
Let's go, Chick-fil-A. Let's go.
I'm sorry, great. I know it's a little long, but I mean, I just
It's good. It's good. So like before you go, tell everybody everything about you, where they can find you, all the stuff.
Awesome. So my name is Anthony Weaver, host of the About That Wallet podcast show, where we talk about the sandwich generation so that they can build confidence in spending money, talking about money, and enjoying their money. You can find me on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, Instagram, X, even on Blue Sky. I'm there. So just go down and look up About That Wallet. Just hit me up. Let me know what you think about this particular episode. Or even leave a comment. Like I always like those.
Hey, let's do it, man. Yo, y'all check that out, man. Check out About That Wallet podcast. Instant, thank you so much for being a guest and being on this About Damn Time. You will be back. I have to get on here. Yeah. Well, definitely.
Anytime, man. Jared, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you for joining me this week on It's About Damn Time. Hey, if you like what you heard, follow this podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and IG, and join the conversation on this week's episode. Link to all my socials in the show notes. You can also show love by simply giving me a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. And of course, for more blogs, pods, and other digital content, go to thewholedamnshow.com. Until next time, I'll see you next week.